Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. Oh, hallowed be Jehovah. Hallelujah, Jehovah. Hallowed be thy name, Christ said. All right, go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Brother Gabe asked me if the bulletin, which contained one mistake, the date, he asked me if the text was chapter 1, verse 10. I said, no, we're going to look at chapters 1 through 10. He said, all of it? No, not all of it. But this is a brief look. A brief look at Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is a gospel book. It's the gospel. Like all the others. It's a declaration of God, who God is, who Christ is, and the great salvation God in Christ performed for sinners. Hebrews. Hebrews is a summary of the Old Testament, and how fitting we're going through the book of Exodus. How fitting it is that we look at Hebrews every now and then, because it is a commentary about the tabernacle and the priesthood and all of that. Hebrews is a summary of the lives, the trials, the travels, tribulations of God's people. It's a summary. Goes over to chapter 11, you know, and talks about various ones and their lives and what all they went through and so forth. It's a summary. Hebrews, the word Hebrew, and this is just for information. It has a reason, but I'm not sure what it is. But the name Hebrew comes from a man named Eber, who was a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the Hebrew children came from Shem, but more specifically, Eber, who was a grandson of Shem. Why the Lord calls them after his name, I don't know. I don't know. There's got to be a reason. Hebrews. But nobody could satisfactorily give me a reason, not even John Gill. So I won't attempt it. Eber. But the word, now this is good. This may be why. Because the word Eber means crossing over. The Hebrews crossing over to the other side, from one side to another, crossing over. And that pretty much sums up what this is all about. Yes, it does. We're born, we live, we sojourn through this life, we die. Crossover. Now, this is not about a bunch of dead Jews, Hebrews. This is written to us. Whatsoever Scripture says, things were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is for you, for me. Whatever was written for our learning, that we, through patience, that means waiting on the Lord. That's what that means. Did you read with me chapter 10? He that will come will surely come. He's coming. Modern religion is trying to tell people how to live in this world. What this is all about is preparing us for the next. It's how to die, live in this world by faith, and die in the faith. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, for Jill Ogle, for Sam Park, that we, through patient waiting and comfort of the Scriptures, give us comfort, might have hope. We live by hope. We save by hope. What are we hoping for? Eternal life. And God that promised. You read it with me. He's faithful. Promise. Hold fast. He's faithful that promised. God that promised. God cannot lie. All men are liars. But God cannot lie. Every word you read with me is such. It's true. He's coming. All right, I said, this is what this is all about. Well, let me ask you a question. Brother Dan Parks, I told you how much I enjoyed being with him, and I'm going to talk about the trip on Wednesday night. Brother Dan preached on the radio down there for years. And we went with him to record a radio message. He was guest speaker on the pastor's program there this time. And for years, every single message, he would begin this way. I want to, the way he would say it, I want to ask you a question. You know, he's got a very distinct. I want to ask you a question. What's this life all about? Why are we here? Everybody pretends to ask that question, or at least seems to be interested in it. What's the meaning of life? Are we like a dog? We just come and we live and we eat and we sleep and we die and that's it. Is there something higher? Is there something better? Is there something else? Is there life more abundant than that? Huh? Are we just dogs? Beasts? No, not man. Man was created in the image of God. God said, let us make man. This thing didn't just happen. Only a fool would look around and think, oh, this just happened. Just an accident. And that there's no purpose to anything. That everything's just chaotic and out of control. What's the meaning of it then? God. That's the meaning of it. God says in chapter 1, verse 1, God, this book begins where everything began. God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Verse 2 says, by whom He made the worlds. God has created. We have a creator. God. God the creator, the ruler. God. We have a God. We have one who reigns and rules over this world. Aren't you glad? Nothing's happening by chance. Nothing's out of control. Aren't you glad? I don't know why people bother to worship a God that's not in control. What do you need with a God like that? God reigns and rules. Say unto Zion, say unto your people. Jeremiah said, or Isaiah said, what shall I cry? He said, cry this, behold your God. Your God. God says in verse 1, at sundry times and diverse manners, different ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God has spoken. How do we know there's a God? He spoke. He's spoken. Scripture says once, yea, twice God has spoken, but men perceive it not. How do we know God has spoken? How do you know God spoke through those prophets of old? That's how He spoke. God didn't speak out loud to the people. No, sir. No, sir. Only a few times that God actually spake out loud, and it was to His Son. It was when Christ was here, God couldn't contain Himself, if I may say that, and said out loud for everybody to hear, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I well please. Some now just thought it thundered. God's people heard that, and they continue to hear that. God spake in time past by the prophet. How do you know those fellows were speaking, that God was speaking through them? Because everything they said came to pass. Yeah, it came to pass. It was fulfilled. And what hadn't been will. That's what He says over there. He says, now, if that's what the Lord told Moses. He said, now, if a prophet say something and it doesn't come to pass, I didn't send him. But if it does, you know I spoke through it. God spoke in those last days, or that is, in different sundry times and diverse manners unto the fathers by the prophets, Moses and so forth, Elijah. But he hath in these last days. These are the last days. These are the last of the last days. Ever since Christ came, it's been the end times. Hath in these last days, final days of planet Earth. That's what that means. The last days of planet Earth. God Almighty spoke. How? He personally spoke. He came down here. And His name was Jesus the Christ. He spoke unto us by Son. By His Son. God came to this earth. That's what this is all about. And this thing of people, religion, believing this and believing that and all that. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe this Christian. What it's all about is this. Either that man named Jesus was God, or he's not. If he's not God, you can take it or leave it, what he said. You can take it or leave it right now this morning. If he wasn't God, if he isn't God, what we're doing here, just let's quit. All right? What's the use? It's just another religion of man's opinion and traditions and superstitions, right? But if he was God, if God actually came down here as a man and spoke, shouldn't we sit up and listen? And it's what the whole book of Hebrews through the next several chapters goes on to say. God spoke here. God came down to this earth. God spoke to us. What did He say? Well, buddy, if we let it slip, if we don't give earnest heed, if we neglect so great a salvation, if we just trot underfoot and go on our merry way, we count it a common thing. I've heard that before. Take it or leave it. But if He was God, then what He said is life. What I say is life. You're going to either live by what I say or you're going to die. It behooves us to sit up and listen to it. Us, all of us. What did He say? What did He say? God came down here. What did He say? God spoke. What did He say? I'll tell you the first words out of His mouth as an adult preacher, 30-year-old preacher, I'll tell you the first words out of His mouth. Repent. He didn't say, God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for you and that's why I've come, because God needs you and is looking to help. Wants you so bad in His kingdom. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This thing's about over, He said. Repent. What does repent mean? Almost everybody thinks they know, but repent means be profoundly sorry from the heart for sinning against the Holy God. Repent. The kingdom of heaven, God's eternal kingdom, spiritual kingdom. It's not of this world. It's not of this world, Christ said. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were, we would fight for it. If it were, we would get into political causes. If it were, we would establish all sorts of things. No, He said, I've established one thing, that's the church. And it's all about the spiritual kingdom. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did He say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Father which has sent me, I declare Him unto you. And He hath sent me to be the way, the truth, the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way to God. There is no other. There is no other. I am the truth. Everything else is a lie. All the other religions are a lie. Anything Christ plus is a lie. Christ and Mary, that's a lie.
I am the truth. God doesn't have a mother. I am the life. He that hath the Son hath life. That means whoever really knows Christ and is found in Christ has life. It doesn't matter what we say we have. If we don't have the Son, we don't have life.
He that hath not the Son hath not life, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So he came. God came down here. He lived. Why? Why did he come here? Warn us? Just to warn us? He said, I am come that they might have life. I came, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I am come to lay down my life for the sheep. I am come to give unto them my righteousness. He came to live as a substitute, as a righteous representative. He came to fulfill the law. He said, it behooves me to fulfill all righteousness. Why? For my people. They've broken it all. I'm going to fulfill it all for them. I'm working out this perfect robe that will fit them and cover them up. He came, he lived, he died. Why did he die? He didn't have to die. He didn't have to die. And nobody took his life from him. Nobody took his life from him. I was talking to a preacher. And he said, Christ died of cardiac failure. What happened was when, you know, the heart swelled up, that water, pulmonary, what's that called when there's fluid all around the heart? Edema or whatever? Yeah. He said, that's what happened. There were things happening naturally. I said, that's a bunch of hogwash. He didn't die of any natural causes. He said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down of myself. He died. How? Nobody killed him. He willfully died. Became a sacrifice. God killed him. Pleased the Father to bruise him. God made his soul an offering for sin. Why? Why did Jesus Christ die? Couldn't he have accomplished more by living? He only lived 33 years. What if he'd lived 70? Couldn't he have done so much more? He said, for this cause I came into the world. To die. Why? Because he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You're getting worried, aren't you? You think, how's he going to get to chapter 10? If I don't get past this, he came. It says in, look at verse 3. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins. Christ was a sin sacrifice. Sin offering. Please God to bruise him, make his soul an offering for sin. Christ died to put away the sins of all of God's people. All the sins of all of God's people forever. Put them away. By the sacrifice of himself. And this whole book, the whole book of Hebrews, is about, and Brother Dan, boy, didn't he preach a wonderful message on the only priest that sat down. The only priest that sat down. This whole book is about the priesthood, the Old Testament priesthood, and all those sacrifices. And Dan is so thorough that he enumerated, as he would say, all the sacrifices that were made, and it came to a million animals. Over a million. And this book says none of those can put away one sin but this man. He came to make a sacrifice. One. An only one. It was forever. And it put away sin. All sin. All the sins of God's people. Jesus paid it all. He sure did. Not him and my faith. No, sir. It's him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed it. Put it away. All of God's people. All their sin. Once and for all. Put it away. And he sat down. Where? On the right hand of the majesty on high. That's what it says there. On the right hand of the majesty on high. What's that mean? He sat down. It's finished. Oh, he got up one time. when Stephen was being martyred. Remember that? He got up in honor of his martyr Stephen. They were killing because they didn't believe sovereign grace. He got up and said, "Son, I'm standing in honor of you." And he sat back down. And he's not getting up again until he comes again. Shut the door. Bring his people in and then shut the door. The door of mercy is shut. Go on down. It says in verse 4, he has an inheritance. That is, God has given him all things into his hand. He's the Son, and he owns it all now. It's all in his hand to do with as he pleases. It belongs to him. That's why he died. To this end, Christ both lived and died, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He owns it all. Ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance. Mine enemies for thy footstool. He owns it all. It's all in his hands. He said in Revelation, he said, "I am the Lord. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I live evermore, alive evermore, and I have the keys of hell and death." I do. I decide everything about everyone. I do. He owns it all. Down in verse 8, God said this about his Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." More than a point of doctrine to be argued. If Jesus Christ, that one who came, is not God, you are yet in your sins. Aren't we? We're yet in our sins. He said, "If thou believest not that I am, you'll die in your sin." Who can forgive sins but God? That's right. It's not just a point of doctrine here. Higher doctrine. This is our salvation. Our salvation depends on that man that came down here being God. Verse 11 says, "They'll perish." That is, every one of his enemies. Everybody. And all things. The heaven and earth shall perish. But he'll remain. He'll remain. Everything's going to be like a garment, he says. Oh, like a garment, as a vesture, shall fold them up when God Almighty, after his purpose, his will, everything is finished. God Almighty is going to take all this universe and just fold it up. Throw it away. And he says to his people, "Behold, I create all things new. Rejoice in what I've created. In heaven, new heavens and new earth. Jerusalem, a joy and a rejoicing coming down from God. And God's going to dwell with us forever. That former thing shall not be remembered or come to mind." Why? He threw it away. Threw it away. Taketh away the first to establish the second. He is what this is all about. What's this all about? Him. That's what this is all about. If we're to live eternally and not perish at the wrath, at the hands of God, according to his wrath. And once again, I keep laboring this point, but religion, all they got to talk about is the love of God. You read Hebrews 10 with me, didn't you? I don't see love in there. All I see is wrath and indignation, fiery indignation, vengeance. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Repent. Confess your sins. He's faithful. God is faithful. He said, "All that come to me by cry, confessing their sin." All that come to the high priest and confess their sin. Don't confess them to a man. God's fiery indignation is going to come down on that priest that thinks he can absolve your sin. But now, his mercy and his grace is in the great high priest named Jesus Christ who put away your sin. You come to him, God said. You come to my Son, the only high priest, and confess your sins. And buddy, they won't just be figuratively gone. They'll be gone. God says, "I'll remember them no more, ever again." Clean slate. Blotted out. Put away. Covered. You come to everyone. He's faithful. He said he would, and he'll do it. He can't lie. And just to forgive. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for it. God will by no means clear the guilty. But Jesus Christ became guilty. Became sin. And God punished him in our stead. The wrath of God was expended. No death now for God's people. Well, look at this. Chapter 2 says, therefore. Chapter 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I wrote down three things browsing through the book of Romans. Apostasy. It's going on to talk about the children of Israel. They didn't go into the promised land. They heard the gospel like we did. We have. Same gospel. And one of these things was they let them slip. Oh, you know, I'll hear it again next time. That's what it means. Just let it slide. We'll slide on by, and I'll hear it again. It'll be there again next week. How do we know? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. That's what this book said. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today, this is what this book said. Today, while it's called today, is the day of salvation. It talks about verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect? Neglect so great salvation. What's neglect? Have you ever had anything and you neglected it? You ever had a car? I'm going to use Margaret. Margaret had a shiny yellow. What year was that, Steve? 76 Malibu. And she neglected it. There was a time when she would have neglected that car. Before she met Mac, I think. That's how she neglected it. You'll lay down things, other things, if you truly fall in love with your husband. Nothing will cause you to neglect him. If you really fall in love with him, if you really know him, love him, nothing and no one's going to allow you to neglect him. That's what this is talking about. But anyway, Margaret used to polish and wax neck, and she began to neglect it. And man, it went downhill fast. And Steve bought it, and it's going to take him 3 years to restore it back in it. A lot of hard work. Neglect. Ever neglected anything? A house. If you don't live in a house very long, it'll go down immediately. It'll start going down until it just falls apart. You ever see an abandoned house? Nobody lived there? It's the same with our souls. How shall we escape if we neglect? Neglect means to treat with very little attention. Peter said, give diligence to make your calling election sure. Well, I'm one of the elect. I believe election. You're not there yet. Paul said, this is what it means to give diligence. He said, if by any means I might attain them, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained. At least I press for the mark of the prize. If Paul said that, if Paul the Apostle said that, what about this puny Paul? What about us? Neglect. Oh, it'll be there. Neglect means to consider no consequence. Well, you know, Margaret neglected that car because it's just an old car. It is of no consequence. And it's not, it's a rust bucket. It's going, no matter what Steve does to it, it's going to rust again, isn't it? It's going to fall apart. It's not going to last. Go ahead and neglect those things. But don't neglect so great salvation. How shall we escape, he goes on, if we neglect? He's coming. He's coming. Which was spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God bearing witness. Neglect. And it goes on to say, talk about hardening. Don't harden your hearts. How do you harden your heart? It's to keep hearing the gospel unmoved. Not to pray, you know. Ask the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the softening effect of the heart. The Holy Spirit is the one who softens the heart. I'll give you a new spirit. I'll give you a new heart and soften your heart. But Lord, help me to hear the gospel. I haven't heard it in so long, been moved by it. Please, Lord, soften my hard heart. Do not ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll knock. Not seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Harden not your heart. Don't assume on the mercy of God. Not presume upon the mercy of God. Hardening and departure. It ends up with departure. It goes on in chapter 6. He said, it's impossible to renew repentance them that have fallen away. See, and they have trodden underfoot. They brought such great reproach on the Son of God and church and everything. They've done despite on the Spirit of grace. And holy brethren, look at verse 3. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. It means keep in mind, keep on your mind, keep on your mind. How do you keep something on your mind? You're reminded, aren't you? Reminded. We come here to be reminded over and over again. We read the Word for ourselves, be reminded. We call upon God to remind it. Lord, don't let me forget. Keep in mind, consider, keep your eyes on, look to the apostle and high priest of our profession. Son over God's house, verse 6, he's a son. Hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Hold fast. You remember the lesson, he that keepeth my word, hold fast, keep, hang on. Now, when we get there someday, we're going to know. We know for a fact that we're not kept by our hanging on. You're not kept by our power. We're not kept by our diligence. None of those things. We know that. Nevertheless, he says to us, hold fast to this gospel, to Christ, as if your life depended on it. He does. Hold fast. Harden not. Verse 8, harden not. Verse 12 says, take heed, brethren. Take heed. What's heed mean? You put two words together, you get heed. Hear and deed. He that is a hearer and not a doer deceiveth himself. In other words, you hear it and say, that's good, and go on and let slip or neglect or so forth. Didn't hear it. Didn't take heed. Hear indeed. But he that is a hearer and doer, oh, he'll be blessed. Deed. Heed. Take heed. Take heed. Verse chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, let us fear. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us fear. Who's us? Me, starting with the preacher. Starting with the preacher. Paul said, I keep my body in subjection lest in preaching to others I myself become a castaway. That'd be the most horrible thing I can think of. Well, Judas, perished, didn't it? He went out preaching. Preacher. Although I don't believe one soul was profited from his preaching, nevertheless. Let us fear. Starting with me and you, you personally. Let us fear. Fear what? Missing Christ. I tell you what will make you fear missing, will keep you from missing Christ is hold fast. We're going, I was determined to preach this message. There are many reasons for preaching. Number one is to glorify God. That's the primary, principal, chief reason for preaching: declare God. Number two is to declare God's Son, the remedy, redemption, the Savior of sinners. Declare God's Son. It's to tell man what he is. Declare, expose man for what he is, so that they'll look to Christ. It's to feed God's sheep. To exhort God's sheep. Comfort God's. Comfort ye, my people. It's also to reprove, admonish, and warn. It's to warn. Paul told the Ephesian elders when he was getting ready to die, was getting ready to leave, he said, I did not cease to warn you day and night with tears. Somebody in this room is going to miss Christ. Just a fact. It's a sad fact, but it's a true fact. It always has been that way. Always has been.
How could we miss Christ? For who? For whom would we miss Christ? And for what? What would a man or a woman give in exchange for their soul? A mess of pottage? A bowl of oatmeal? A piece of rusting metal? A man or a woman who's going to die? A job that's just to pay bills with? We're talking about eternity. Let us fear. Let us fear, he said. Verse 11 says, let us labor to enter into this rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest. What's that mean? I already quoted it to you. Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. By any means, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I've got to have Christ. Christ said, except you forsake father or mother, son or daughter, houses or land, and your own life, that is your own personal pursuits and what you want, you cannot be my disciple. Can't be. But whoever has forsaken for my sake in the gospel shall receive eternal life, and in this life a hundredfold blessing. God is too kind to take things away from us. For no, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. Not miserly, not just a little bit, but all these things shall be given unto you. Let us fear. Now listen, for your comfort, I'm not going to leave you right there. No, sir. I want to remind you, though, please. Let us fear missing Christ. Let's fear missing Christ. There are going to be some people who sat under the gospel for years and missed Christ. Wow. For what? Well, they'll be wondering for eternity. Why? But he says, look at chapter 6. Chapter 6. It says in verse 9, before that he talks about how impossible it is to renew someone to repentance. But he says in verse 9, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. I'm glad he said that. We're persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation. I just believe that he that hath begun a good work in you, the majority in here, it appears that God hath done a good work. It shows. That he that hath begun a good work will perform it, will finish it. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which you committed unto him against that day. In chapter 10, he said this. Chapter 10, that we read a while ago. I want to read it to you one more time in closing. In chapter 10, he says in verse 23, let's hold fast the profession of our faith. What's that? Christ. What is Christ? It's the gospel. Where is Christ? He's in the church. In the midst of His people. That's where He is. He's at the mercy seat. That's where I'll meet you, God said, at the mercy seat. Around one common mercy seat. That's where He is. He's promised to be there and He's promised to commune. This is the body of Christ. Yes, it is. The church is the body of Christ. You want to be with Christ, you be with His body. Let us hold fast, hang on, clutch, hold on to. He's faithful to promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. We provoke one another in many ways, don't we? We get mad at each other in so many ways. Why? Because we're all a bunch of no good sinners, that's why. And we provoke each other. Now, what this is all about is not me and my and I and me and oh, poor me and won't you. No, sir. It's to provoke each other to love God. And good works, what's that? Be about the things of our God. Let's just forget all that stuff
get me and mine, the world and everything else just blotted out. Unless we're here to worship God and rejoice in Him and exhort one another. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Some do. I don't know for what or why. Must be something better. Must be something better. But exhorting one another. And so much more. The older we get, as we see the day approaching, the older we get, the more faithful we ought to be. That really proves, doesn't it? I'm looking for a city. I have here no continuing city. I'm looking for one whose builder and maker is God. So much more. As you see, that exhorting one another. I told you about Brother Donnie and I walking up Peaks of Otter. You know, he wanted to quit. And I, let's go on. I wanted to quit. And he said, no, we're going to come this far. And we wanted to quit. And I wanted to quit. And I dragged him. He dragged me. And we got to the top. And we're so glad we didn't quit. And we forgot all about the climb. Forgot all about the climb. The view was so wonderful. And we had such good fellowship up there. The whole time we were talking about the gospel and things of God. Just marvelous. Built a little fire and sat around the fire. About like Peter and the disciples, or the Lord and the disciples. And just gloried in the things of our God. And it was just glorious. It's worth the trip. Worth the trip. Those things are not even to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. We didn't even remember the trip. And we went skipping back down the mountain. So let us exhort one another. If we sin willfully, this verse 26 means if you forsake the gospel, that's unbelief. If you reject the gospel, if you leave the gospel after you receive the knowledge of the truth, you don't have a sacrifice. You don't have a prayer. You don't have a high priest. You stand before God someday and no sacrifice. God will say, cast them out. Oh, but verse 39 says, now, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I fully expect to meet Ellen Fralin in glory. I sure do. If by God's grace I'm there. If by God's grace I die in the faith like she did. The last thing I remember her saying was, you remember Nancy? I'll never forget that as long as I live. That is glorious, wasn't it? Brother Joe and Nancy and Mindy and I were standing in the nursing home where she was, and she didn't know our names. She didn't know who we were. And I asked her what the gospel was. She said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just as plain, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I fully expect Ellen Fralin to be there. I fully expect Joe Parks to be right there. Yes, sir. Last thing I remember him saying was, I'm standing on the rock. If I stay, if I go, it'll be all right. I'm standing on the rock. And he's beholding the rock right now. If I get there, I fully expect to see him. Persuaded. Things that accompany salvation. Linda Stoniker. I fully expect. That's how she died, didn't she? Becky Coffey. I fully expect to see, if I get there, by God's grace, if I die in faith, I fully expect. Because they died in the faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 talks about. These all died in the faith. They didn't neglect. They didn't forsake. They didn't let slip. My sister said, when she weighed about 85 pounds and couldn't go worship anymore, she said, life's not worth living if you can't worship. That's what this is all about. God is faithful. Oh, is He faithful. I said He stood up one time. He may have stood up then. What Why would we miss Christ? For who? For what? What's it worth? A bowl of pottage? This is life. This is life. We're talking life here. We're all fading away, aren't we? Fading away. I'm going to preach Garnet's funeral real shortly. If I don't preach yours first. If somebody didn't preach mine first. Right now. It's going to be a body laying right here. In a while, it's going to be another one. Might be mine. Might be yours. Might be Henry.
Did he die in the faith? Did he?
Yes, he did. Glory, hallelujah. We'll see him again. Okay. I got to quit. Brother Gabe, don't let these things slip. This wasn't just a Sunday message. This is life. This is life.
Hymn number 359, and let's stand. Number 359, and we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse.